Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
All right, welcome to another episode of Compliance Pointers. I'm your host, Jordan Eisner, and I'm joined today by Chris Abacon, aka Bacon. How's it going, Bacon?
What's going on, everybody?
Chris, good to have you on again. For those of you who don't recall, Chris is former Navy, over 10 years, I believe, in the Navy, working in several different IT roles. I saw on the profile it was Navy Blue Team Analyst, as if there'd be any other color.
Yeah, right. There's the Blue Team and the Red Team, right? I was part of the Blue Team, the defenders. Red Team are they're like the pen testers, right? So in a sense, I'm Blue Team for Compliance Point, right? So you got the pen testing crew as the kind of the Red Team. So it's pretty cool.
There you go. So, and now on the civilian side, as you just alluded to, you're working with Compliance Point and more importantly, our clients to help them from that angle. So I think you've been on at least one podcast previously.
I think I've been on one, yes. One. Correct.
Okay. So it's good to have you back. And we're talking about a similar topic again. Sorry to typecast you as the CMMC guy.
Oh, I like that typecast. I'm all for it,
And for our listeners, CMMC, Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. But if you click this and you're listening or you're watching, you probably already knew that. And so that's what we're going to get into today. It's been finalized. That's supposedly of significance. You'll have to forgive me. A bit of a cynic with CMMC because it seems like we've been hearing and talking about it for a long time. But that's part of why we're doing this episode. And that's part of what Chris is going to get into, expand on, elaborate on, and hopefully leave our listeners and viewers with a bit more of an understanding of why this is important as they step away from this.
Absolutely.
So we'll start simple question, softball. Who's going to win the election?
Oh, no, you can't.
I'm kidding. You don't have to go in the slightest. I'll stop you there. I was making sure you were paying attention to what I was asking.
Oh, my goodness.
Why is it significant that CMMC is being finalized? And why might people not realize that it's being finalized or it hadn't been finalized, previously? Walk us through a little bit of the trajectory, where we are now, and why it is significant that it is being finalized.
Right. So, I mean, really, to understand the significance, we really got to go back to 2010, November, right? It's going to be the Executive Order 13556 that really published controlled and classified information as a means to protect it, right? Because there were essentially every branch within the government had their own, their own categorizations and markings for controlled unclassified information. 13556 really constitutes it and aggregates into one nice little program under NARA, which is the National Archives, right? So they're the ones that really, really push this effort, at least from the government and federal perspective. But going into CMMC as itself, right, the rule was originally published, right? So the interim final rule, right, was published. So that was for Code of Federal Regulations in November 2010, right? So the interim final rule for 48 CFR became effective November 30th, 2020, establishing that little five-year period, right? So in this area, CMMC 2.0 was introduced about a year later, right? And it covered all the tiered models, the assessment requirements, and the phase of implementation. And within the DoD DIB, it still wasn't the I would say FUD per se, or the anticipation of it still wasn't there because it was just so far off, right? Mm-hmm. Like everybody knows, at least that's familiar with the federal rulemaking, that process takes a long time, right? It takes a very, very long time. And nearly now that we're at the end of an election cycle, right? The CMMC final rule is now supposed to be taking into effect December 16th, right? So CMMC level 2.0, which is the three-tier requirement, right, which denotes level 1, 2, and 3, published in November 2021. And it's really just been anticipation to that point. You've got buildup all over the marketplace, all over LinkedIn and various cybersecurity conferences and people and subject matter experts talking about this specific rule. And finally, it's now significant because it's the new rule finally takes into effect in December 16th, 2024.
Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about that phased rollout, and I know I have some questions for you where you can expand on that for our audience.
Right.
You mentioned end of an election cycle. Is there any way that what happens with this election could change the date?
No way. Not at this point. It's pretty
no
much
way.
Been...
No chance. You heard it here.
Yeah, Chris no, Abacon. I mean, really, to get to this point, it had to go through various government. It's the Office of Undersecretary of Defense, right? It's had to go through OIRA, which is, you know, they work with the Code of Federal Regulations. The actual specifics that what goes on there, I'm not familiar with, but it's gone through these specific steps for so many periods. I think personally, right, because of the end of the election cycle, you got people at the end of their terms, they're pushing this stuff out, right? That's kind of my theory, but it makes sense, right? I think historically, a lot of regulations have been pushed out at the end of administrations, right? So it's kind of cool. It's cool that we're finally seeing it, you know, take into effect on December 16th.
Yeah. You say cool. I'm sure others say.
Yeah, cool, else. Right. I mean, sure, surely that's not the... Yeah.
Depends on how you're looking at it. It's in the eye of the beholder.
From us as the subject matter expert perspective, right? But as a, you know, organization seeking assessment or even, you know, certification, that might not be the case, right?
Well, that was part of the what was adapted. Right, was to consider size of different organizations and hurdles that you're going to put on different contractors based on their complexity and who they're working with. Correct. But I'm getting ahead of myself, or I'm getting off topic. So
no worries.
While this rulemaking was happening, a DFARS rule change is also moving along. Tell us about that and the impact that had with CMMC.
Right. So the CF. So in specific terms, there's two things, right? There's two specific rules to take note. There's a 32 CFR Part 170, which is the CMMC program rule, which is the actual rule that we're talking about, the one that's going to be taking into effect in December 16th. It establishes the program itself from the federal perspective. 48 CFR, right? I think it's Part 204. Is the DFARS, Defense Acquisition Regulations, right? So that's on the DOD specific side. So this is where the DOD can take, you know, and establish certain rules, regulations, you know, milestones within the CMMC rule that can trigger their requirements and implement them into DOD contracts themselves. CMMC is established, right? Now, DOD needs to put a rule in to trigger it and put it into the actual DOD contracts. So that's the two, those are the two complex. So consider 32 and 48, right? Those are the two complementary rules. 32 CFR, December 16th, 48 CFR, sometime mid next year.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to that phases of the CMMC rollout piece. Expand on that. Talk about some of those for our listeners. What's the importance, or what can they expect as the phased approach as this is rolled out?
Right. So the phased rollout, supposedly, it's going to be implemented and in effect upon the publishing of the 48 CFR rule. So that's going to be the DOD one. It's going to be sometime mid next year. So there's going to be four phases, right? Phase one is the inclusion of level one and level two self-assessments in contracts, right? So it's going to be effective once the DFARS rule, again, is published. So self-assessments, self-attestations, and SPERS, right? Supply risk management system, right? Or supply risk performance. It's one of those. It's the DOD supplier scoring system, right? So it's where companies go in there and self-attest to their requirements based on 800-171 Rev 2. Now, phase two is going to be the requirement for actual C3 PAO assessments in certain level two certifications. So that's going to be some of them, right? So there's that little phase where it's like, hey, organizations that are, you know, that know that they have to require level two, right? I'm sure they know who they are, right? Based on the level of sensitivity that they're working with the government, right? Certain of them, some of them will be requiring level two actual C3PO assessment. My thing is, I would just say that you should just be able to prepare for that, right? Like, hope is not a course of action. I think if you're level two, my recommendation is, based on your contractual requirements, get ready for that level two C3PAO assessment, not that self-assessment. Now, phase three is going to bring, it's going to include level two C3PAO assessment requirements and options to exercise active contracts, right? And then level four is the full implementation of CMMC requirements. CMMC requirements is going to be all the way up to level three. Level three organizations know who they are, right? There are, you know, a lot of things at play at that point. But the big thing too, one thing I forgot to mention with respect to level three, phase three, it's actually some phase three, level three certifications will be required, right? So if you're a level three company, and like we all know who they are, some of them will be required to go through a DIBCAC assessment in phase three. Oh. Now, starting with phase two, each of these phases becomes effective 1 year after the following phase. So it's essentially going to be a 36-month rollout after the phase one start. So give yourself 3 years or so. I mean, it's there to soft roll companies into the CMMC ecosystem, give them time to prepare. But in my perspective, you've known this was coming since 2021, right? You've had plenty of time to prepare. So when an organization's going to get that contract line item, right, at the time of award, you're going to need to have a level two C3PAO assessment. Just be ready for that.
Okay. I was trying to think of something. I forgot what I was going to ask with all the different.
No worries. You get lost in these phases, right? Especially when you're thinking, oh, this year, that year. And there's so many nuances to CMMC, specifically when it comes to the rule systems. It's easy to get lost in this, but that's what we're here to help.
Yeah. I'd say if maybe a key takeaway from what I heard from you is if you're teetering between one of the levels, expect the best, prepare for the worst.
Correct. There you go. Mm-hmm. That's a good course of action.
Okay. We talked previously about what we're talking about in this, and this was going to be a quick hit, I think, episode. As we start to wrap, I think a good bow on this for our listeners would be for organizations that need CMMC. What are some next steps or just steps that you're recommending? Like you said, you've known about this perhaps for 3 years' time, but as we see a lot in the industry, it's a hurry up and wait and procrastination. So coming out of this finalization, this is a significant thing. What are some steps you recommend to start and then ultimately to achieve certification for those organizations that have to self-certify or even the ones that need third parties?
Absolutely. So really first thing is kind of to really, as an organization, choose or really identify your own proper certification level. Understand where your organization is processing federal contract information, right? So that's information not for public release, that's provided by or generated by the government under a contract to develop a specific product or service for the government, right? It's contract information. And also, identifying as an organization where you have controlled and classified information. I think I'm going to skip it around here. But with that said, understanding where your certification level is, if you're going to be a level one, so just kind of recap, level one is a foundational, right? And that's meaning that you handle federal contract information and you will need to meet the FAR regulation 52.204.21 cybersecurity requirements, which are about 15 or so requirements from 18 NIST 800-171, right? Most organizations are likely going to fall under advanced level two. And with my previous comment of some organizations will only have to self-attest, while some, I would say most, will have to go through a C3PA organization. Prepare for the worst, expect the best, right? make sure that you understand where you stand. And now level three, it's going to be, you're going to be assessed by the DIBCAC. Chances are you've already been assessed by the DIBCAC at some point, or have that communication with them. But in this case, right, identifying a proper certification level is really paramount. If you're a subcontractor, communicate with your prime contractor. If you're a prime contractor, chances are those big names that we all know, they're already communicating with the DoD in that respect. So one, identify your certification level. Next, I kind of skipped ahead though, but identify your CUI and FCI. Right? Identify which systems in your ecosystem, in your environment, do the contracting and for FCI. And identify where those data flows are and ensure that only those are documented, right? Those FCI sticks to those specific systems, and same with CUI. You should track the flow of CUI and CUI, identify where, what areas of your business encounter the specific data. And really, I like segregation, right? In this case, right? Keep reducing your scope and ensure CUI is only within the bounds, even if you have like a CUI room, like for example, if you're an organization that produces parts, bespoke parts for the government, right? Really narrowing your scope to, you know, a building, a room, better, right? Again, that is a huge aspect of this, right? And then lastly, and then moving forward is the system security plan, right? Everybody knows the system security plan. You can't move forward with CMMC unless you have a system security plan. A system security plan is essentially how a document that describes how the organization protects FCI and CUI with accounting to 800-171 controls. There are 800-171 controls, right? But there's also 800-171 alpha controls with assessment requirements, which have about 320 determination statements. So 320 statements of in areas where you have to, as an organization, prove that you're meeting NIST 800-171/CMMC requirements, right? So that is a huge part. Also, I think one little extra tidbit here is also identifying your security protection assets, your contractor management assets, and your, you know, out of scope slash, you know, specialized assets. I do want to give this tidbit here to security protection assets. It's really the people and processes and technology that that enable the protection of that CUI, but don't necessarily have to process and store CUI, as they're not CUI assets. This could be anything from your people, your processes and technology, your buildings, your ESP, your security providers, right? So all that stuff documented in the SSP, right? And then the next step I would recommend is taking that look at yourself and doing a self-assessment, you know, and self-assessments can be done, you know, with the help of an external provider or yourself if you've got the team to do so. Conduct the self-assessment by identifying existing 800-171 and CMMC gaps. Specifically in this case, utilize 800-171 alpha or 800-171A assessment requirements. A lot of the times people think, oh, it's just 110 controls from 800-171. That's all we gotta go with. But an assessor is gonna look at 800-171 alpha, which has 320 determination statements. So, but it depends anyway from like 3 to 2 statements per control, or it could be up to like 5, right? There's it really depends. But obviously, the bigger and more difficult or more capital intensive requirements are going to have more determination statements, right? And then next, design and implement controls based on the security gaps. Find those gaps, and you know, create that poem if you have that capability, right? Then lastly, I'll select a 3C3PAO, right? Once you guys have gone through that process, conducting that self-assessment, gap assessment, and if you've gone and remediated those gaps, and you feel confident enough to go with a C3PAO and do that assessment, select that C3PAO. Go to the CyberAB website, find a C3PAO, connect with them, see if they meet your values, right? If you can synergize with them as an organization, and then they can help you with that level 2 certification, right? If that ends. So those are my little quick hitters for
quick Quick hitters, yeah.
I try to be quick.
No, it's good. It's a lot, right?
It is a lot. It really is.
I'm familiar enough to know the things you're talking about when you say 800-171, NIST, when you say SSP, right? And you can't spell CMMC without SSP, and I know that sounds funny, but
right.
I mean, that's a core part of it.
Absolutely.
If you're a defense contractor and you're listening or you're watching this and CUI, FCI, any of this is like, wait, what is that? You need to talk to somebody, right? I mean, you need to be asking around, you need to be doing some research, you need to be connecting and subscribing to these sort of channels to understand these requirements that are coming down, and you need to increase maturity as you're with your organization. Now, most are going to know about this is already, right? I think it's going to be a rarity or an outlier if there's some that are maybe new to the game, that are trying to understand some of the stuff, or they want to start competing in this marketplace. That's more likely where there's going to be some newfound lack of understanding around some of these areas. But most of them have been in the space working with the DoD and whatnot for a while. This is going to be familiar and they're going to understand it. So that was a long-winded way of saying everything that you just broke down and went through, I think, is going to hit home for most that are familiar with this. And if they're not, then they need to continue to digest this information and go online for it. So we'll end there, Chris. Thank you for your time today. I would implore everybody listening that has questions to reach out to Chris, reach out to me, come to Compliance Points website, inquire through our website. There's many channels you can reach us. You can call in. We've got an email address, connect@compliancepoint.com. And we're very open to having conversations around this as organizations need to start preparing for CMMC, or they've had time to start preparing for it, but now the rubber hits the road. Start the clock on phase one, and as Chris point, you know, 3-year process from there, but it's not something that you're going to be able to cram for the test the night before on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone. Until next time.